We have visitors in our midst this morning. We're grateful for your presence. Glad that you're here. Hope to get to know you after the services are over. We've got family here this morning, and I hope you get to meet all of them as well. Turn in your New Testaments to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Today's message, I think, should come with a warning. Caution. Be advised. This passage requires no interpretation. Peter writes chapter 3 in a way that really makes the job of gospel preaching over this passage very easy. No one has to dig deep to figure out what Peter is trying to say here. I think it's very clear. It's very obvious. His words are plain. They're straightforward. I think it's impossible to miss the point. So let's listen again to what he has to say. Finally, all of you should be of one mind, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate when people say unkind things about you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God wants you to do, and He will bless you for it. Folks, that is really easy instructions. There's nothing difficult about that. But you know, if we're not careful, it's easy to forget the priority that Scripture places on unity. God makes it very clear, at least it seems that way to me. He wants us to get along. He wants us to be gentle with one another. He wants us to be respectful in our dealings with each other. And He makes it clear that doing so is foundational to Christian living. Peter wrote this letter to Christians who were suffering all kinds of terrible trials. There were slaves that were suffering at the hands of very abusive masters. Citizens were suffering persecution from an oppressive government. Every day, believers were suffering slander and mistreatment from those who were in their community, who were hostile to the Christian faith that they had taken on. The primary theme in this epistle is how to deal with suffering. If you go and look at the epistle in its entirety, it's about suffering. But in the middle of the book, Peter talks about how to experience the good life. And I got to tell you, that caught my eye. Let's listen again. Now he's going to be quoting from Psalms chapter 34, when he says, if you want a happy life or a good life and good days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and keep your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Work hard at living, listen, ladies and gentlemen, work hard at living in peace with others. Now, there is not one among us, I don't believe, who doesn't want to have a happy life and good days. Wouldn't you all say that you want to have a happy life and that you want to have good days? That's why Peter has made my job so easy this morning. He tells us how to get that certainly all of us want, which is the good life. In these verses, he mentions three things that are fundamental to finding happiness in your day-to-day existence. Today, we're going to take a look at each and every one of them. And I can make you a promise, to the extent that you incorporate these principles into your life, the quality of your life is going to improve. First of all, consider what you say before you say it. Now remember, ladies and gentlemen, what the old gospel preacher told me so many years ago. When you point the finger at the audience, you've got three pointing back at you. Listen to me when I tell you, I need to consider what I say before I say it. we forget how important words are. Words mean things. Do you realize how much of your life is spent talking? The average person speaks about 25,000 words per day. 25,000 words per day. That would be about 50 pages in print. Which means that every week you would speak approximately the equivalent of a John Grisham novel. If all your words were put on paper each year, you would compile a personal library of more than 50 such novels. And I got to tell you, I haven't made it through a John Grisham novel yet. I get about a quarter of the way through and I think, you know what, I think I need to go study the Bible. I spend all my time doing this. But I want you to think about it. That's a pretty big stack of books, isn't it? 50 of those, 50 novels. The act of speaking takes up 1/5 of your life. That blew me away. 1/5 of your life. Now, what's my point? Here's my point. If you spend 20% of your life doing something, doesn't that deserve your careful attention? Isn't it worth doing it right? Absolutely. Peter said in verse 10, if you want a happy life and good days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and keep your lips from telling lies. Now, Peter has shown us how Jesus responded to mistreatment. Look at chapter 2, verse 22 through 24. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. And when he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Jesus set an example for how to respond to mistreatment. Have you been mistreated? I want you to notice, the example is seen primarily in what Jesus didn't say. No deceit. No insults came out of his mouth. No threats. In following his example, Peter tells us again in verse 10, keep your tongue from speaking evil and keep your lips from telling lies. Most human conflict begins on the verbal level, ladies and gentlemen. It's what we say that causes problems at work. It's what we say that causes problems in our marriages. It's what we say that causes problems in our friendships. And even here in this meeting house, among our brethren, it's what we say and it's how we say it that causes problems. Keep your tongue from speaking evil. Proverbs says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who use it will eat its fruit. Think about what you say. That's what God Almighty is telling us, right? And what else? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly comes to ruin. Think about, ladies and gentlemen, what you say. That's what God Almighty is teaching us in just a different way. You want it a different way? There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of the sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Think about what you say. Your words carry weight. And with them come consequences. Do you want to improve the quality of your life? I do. Begin to put this principle into practice. I need to put this principle into practice. Keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. The best way to get started in this direction, sometimes, most of the time, is to just practice not saying anything at all. Just don't say anything. Man, I wish I could have learned that lesson earlier in my life. Solomon says something else in chapter 10, verse 19 of Proverbs. When words are many, Sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Think about what you say. Talk less. That's difficult for me. I don't want to talk less. I want to talk more. Talk less. Practice silence. That's nearly impossible for me. Sometimes I think that's kind of like telling a beautiful white-tailed deer not to run and jump. He didn't say I couldn't speak. What he says is when you do speak, speak carefully. Speak wisely. Speak thoughtfully. Look for words that will encourage the hearts of those who hear you. Look for words that are kind and loving and tender. I've told you this before. I'll tell you again. I can say this of my grandmother, Iva Mae Garrett. I never, in the whole time that I knew her, ever heard her say one ill word against anyone. But rather, she spoke of the positive and beautiful things about people. In general and in specific, I appreciated her so much for that. The key to living the good life is getting into the habit of thinking what you say before you say it. Think. Number two, consider what you do before you do it. Peter said in verses 10 through 11, if you want a happy life and good days, turn away from evil. Turn away from evil and do what is good. We all know that there are do's and don'ts in life that we have to live by. We all know that. But some people never get past focusing on the don'ts. What do you mean, Steve? Well, some Christians define their faith by what they don't do. I don't drink. Don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't suggest you do that either. I don't listen to secular music. Well, I do listen to secular music. But there are some people who really feel strongly about that, and that's one of the don'ts that they don't do because they feel like that makes them a better Christian. I don't wear certain types of clothes. I don't let my children watch inappropriate movies, and on and on and on. And of course, there are the many other serious types of evil that we turn away from. Gossip, anger, jealousy, selfish ambition, lust, greed, and on and on and on. All the things that scriptures teach us not to do. But my point is that in addition to turning away from doing the bad things, we need to also put some energy into doing the good things. And at the end of the day, when you evaluate your performance, what criteria do you use to grade yourself on how you did that day in terms of your Christian life? Do you say, well, it was a good day because I didn't scream at my kids? That would be an unusual day in my house as the kids were growing up. Do you say, well, I didn't lie to a single client? I treated everyone fairly today. Check. You know, I didn't punch that guy at the bank when he seemed like he was asking for it. I held my temper. I was patient. Is that how you do it? At the end of the day, is that how you evaluate your performance? Or do you grade yourself according to the good that you have done? It is a good day because I had a great time alone with God this morning in prayer. I had a chance to teach someone at work. I had a chance to be the kind of example that I need to be at work. I had a great meal with my family. All our family came together, and we were able to sit down and have a great meal. What a wonderful thing that is. And tonight, or today, I had the opportunity on the Lord's Day to worship with my brethren and to serve God Almighty together with them. What a wonderful thing that is. Is that how you evaluated your day? We need to keep an eye on both, of course. I'll be the first to say that. We need to turn away from evil, the evil that seeks to creep into our lives. We need to turn away from that. And certainly we need to be conscious of the fact that those things are lying at the doorstep. But just as important, we need to seek out opportunities to do good. We need to have a positive approach to this life. God spoke through the prophet Isaiah and said, little progress can be made, excuse me. Yes, I am on the wrong. That's not where I wanted to be. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 16, this is how it goes. Wash yourself, make yourself clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight, and cease to do evil. Wash yourself, make yourself clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight, and cease to do evil. Let me see where that is and where I have gone wrong here, ladies and gentlemen. I must have missed something. Oh, I missed Calvin Coolidge. This is what Calvin Coolidge said. Little progress can be made by merely attempting to repress what is evil. Our great hope lies in developing what is good. Isn't that good? That is good, isn't it? But Isaiah said, wash yourself, make yourself clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight, cease to do evil. When many people think about having a relationship with God, this is what they think it entails. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn from evil. I'm going to clean up my life. But Isaiah continues and he says, learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Do you want to experience the good life? Make it a daily priority to find opportunities to do good. Proverbs says in chapter 12, verse 17, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words, and the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. It's not about keeping score, ladies and gentlemen. Keeping score so that you can pat yourself on the back and say, well, you know what? I was really a good guy today. It's about evaluating your life to ensure that you have lived by your priorities. That's what it's about. Look for a chance to do good. Look for a chance to do good and do it. Third, we need to consider our attitudes toward others. Peter says in verse 10 and 11, if you want a happy life and good days, work hard at living in peace with others. Peter understood something about relationships, because he got the work hard part right. It's not easy to live at peace with other people. That is not a simple thing. It is difficult, but it's necessary. And we are taught in Romans chapter 1, or chapter 14, verse 19, so then let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. He also said in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now, you probably have had a reason to hold a grudge against somebody in your life. You probably have a reason. Maybe against many of the people that you know. More than likely, your spouse has said something at some point that was just wrong, or has done something at some time that you could hold against him or her forever if you wanted to. You could hold that over their head. And the same could be said about the brethren that are right here in this meeting house. Probably each and every one of these members in here, myself included, has said something ugly or cutting or derogatory. Every last one of you. Me too. Me at the top of the list. Or you've done something. or you've hurt somebody's feelings in some kind of way, said something crude and unnecessary, or didn't say something you should have said, or didn't do something you should have done, or you went one place instead of the other, or you took the wrong day off, or you forgot to shake hands with at least one person in this meeting house before you left. Or more than likely, everyone in here has had a reason to resent at least one brother. Maybe more. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But the same could be said about your coworkers, right? Or your employer. Boy, just come sit down with me sometime and I'll give you a whole list of things about our presidents that's just reprehensible. Everyone has had a good reason to hold a grudge against someone. Sure, that's true. So let me tell you what we need to do, okay? Since every last one of us has a reason to hold a grudge against somebody. Get over it. Rise above it. Let it go. Get it out of your system. Do you want to improve your standard of living, ladies and gentlemen? Think about your attitude towards others and what it should be. Work hard at living at peace with them. Every last one of them, even the person that's the most reprehensible slug that you've ever been around, work hard at living at peace with them. In fact, I challenge you to make it your goal to be better at this than anyone else in this room. In your family, at your job, among your brethren. Work harder at getting along than anybody else is willing to work. Are you willing to do that? Today, right today, make that a point in your life. I'm going to get along. I'm going to work harder at getting along. Understanding that people will still slap you down. It's okay. You keep going because you want to be more patient than anyone else is willing to be. Do you have that in you? You talk about the meat of the word. You talk about maturity in the Christian life. That's what it's about, ladies and gentlemen. Bend more than anyone else is willing to bend. Some of you may wonder, well, this is going to make me like some kind of doormat, Steve. You're just going to be like some kind of doormat. No. Listen to me. Look at me. You looking? It's going to make you more like Jesus. Is that who you want to be like? It's going to make you more like Jesus. And Jehovah will see what you do. And I want you to listen to Peter's words again. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. It's as simple as this. When you make an effort to get along with others, God notices that. I've heard it said, the goodness of the heart is shown in deeds of peacefulness, gentleness, and kindness. Our actions tend to reflect our nature. What we do, how we act, tells the world who we are, who we really are. So who are we really? Who am I really? We are God's people who have been saved through the power of his blood and the power of his resurrection. We have experienced his forgiveness and his mercy and his acceptance. And we have been given eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. How can we respond? by treating others as God has treated us. Think about what you say. Follow the example of Jesus. Be slow to speak. Consider what you say before you say it. Keep silent if necessary. My mother-in-law's grandmother, Mrs. Babbitt, said these words, "Less said, sooner mended." She told her grandchildren and children that, along with many other things. Less said, sooner mended. Think about what you do. Consider what you do before you do it. Every day, look for the chance to do something for someone else. Do it. Think about your attitude towards others. Is it positive? Even those who have offended you, what's your attitude towards them? Seek to be at peace with everyone. Try harder than anyone else is willing to try. If you apply these standards to your life, I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that your standard and your quality of life will change. It will change. According to God's promise, He will take notice of you and your effort. And according to His promise, you will experience happiness and good days. When people, ladies and gentlemen, with gentleness and with respect, God help us. God help us to be pliable of heart. God help us to love one another the way we ought to love each other. Treat each other. Maybe there's someone in the audience this morning that needs to respond to the gospel of Christ. If you understand that you must repent of your sins, confess His name before men, and be baptized for the remission of sin, water is ready and prepared for you this morning. Maybe there is someone in the audience that needs the prayers of the congregation or who has brought reproach against this church from some act, something they have done. Forgiveness awaits you. Brethren will pray for you. All of us, ladies and gentlemen, are weak from time to time and sinful. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us need prayer this morning. Prayer to be better than we have been. So if you're subject to God's invitation this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing? Our God.